Welcome to the PCTR Podcast. I'm Robbie Utterberg, Senior Pastor. I want to thank you for listening today. We hope that you hear from God and that this podcast encourages you in your faith journey. You can connect with us on social at facebook.com/PCTRNJ or our Instagram handle, PCTRNJ. Or you can find more information or resources at PCTR.org. Have a great day. Peace.
Do you believe in miracles? That was the question that Al Michaels screamed into the live broadcast in 1980 at the very end of the semifinals of the Olympic hockey games when the United States of America played against the Soviet Union. I just watched the movie based on that true story called Miracle a couple days ago, and it was great. And it's a true story. Many of you probably remember it, but it was of the U.S. hockey team that at that time was made up entirely of college kids because we didn't allow professional athletes to compete in the Olympics at that time. And so those young kids defeated the juggernaut that was the Soviet Union, these men that had been playing together forever. And they go on ultimately to win the gold medal. And the movie is so intense. And when Al Michaels screams out, "Do you believe in miracles?" I mean, it brings chills even now just thinking about it, right? And I knew the end of the story because that happened a couple years ago. And so, but it was incredible. But was it a miracle? And what is a miracle? Right, when we think about that movie, what was miraculous? Well, it was certainly improbable, seemingly impossible, but what did they achieve that was so miraculous? I mean, they worked harder than everybody else, probably. They went through this grueling months of training, bonded together so closely like a family, that they had a just driven and somewhat kind of unhinged coach that was so focused on winning. And what they achieved was improbable, and it was incredible. But kind of when we say miracle, it's really because it was that no one expected it, right? And it seemed impossible. But is that a good definition of a miracle? Probably not really, because if we define it that way, then many of the things, we'd see so many things, I guess, that would be considered miracles that maybe nothing would be considered miracles. Like every technological innovation that has ever happened throughout time would be miraculous because it was unexpected and seemed impossible until it happened. Like most of our beloved pieces of music or heroic stories or underdog stories, or like the fact that I got a date with Abby, let alone married her, right? Miracles everywhere. These are miracles by that definition. But we know, kind of at our core, they're not really miracles. Because miracles defy us, don't they? Miracles are beyond our ability to achieve or attain or accomplish. Because miracles come not from us, they come from God. As we're thinking about this, a helpful definition might come from the Dictionary of Jesus in the Gospels that says, a miracle is a supernatural event. That is, an event which so transcends ordinary happenings that it is viewed as a direct result of supernatural power. In other words, miracles are an intervention of God, a display of his power, in ways that we cannot deny that it was God, that it certainly didn't come from us. And Jesus was widely known as a miracle worker, one through whom this power of God was released in the world. And last week when we gathered for worship, we celebrated the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection. And we talked about how there's good reason to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, to believe in the miracle of resurrection. And if you missed that, you can always go back and hear that on our YouTube channel. But we talked about how there's good reason to believe in the miracle of the resurrection. And so today, if God could do that miracle, then are we not invited to believe that he is able to do so many more miracles? That's what's leading us into this series that we're starting today called The Miracles of Jesus, where we're going to be looking at a variety of the miracles that Jesus did in his life and ministry, so that we can see him and know him better, so that we can consider the purpose of miracles, We're going to talk about the reality of why some miracles that we desperately long for don't happen, and even consider what miracles may mean for us and the possibility of miracles for us today. And so we're going to jump in this morning to Matthew chapter 4. If you'd like, you can follow along on the screens, but let's listen for God's word speaking to us. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, will you add your blessing to the reading, the hearing, the receiving, and the responding to your word by your Holy Spirit? May you help us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. So this part of Matthew is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And the first thing he does is withdraws from the city centers, goes to the very northernmost part of Israel known as Galilee. Matthew notes that this was part of how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah, the prophecies about him. He quoted from Isaiah, saying, "Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." A light has dawned. A light has dawned in Jesus. He is the light that has dawned, that has come into the darkness that the people were living in. Now, this imagery takes us really all the way back to the beginning, to the creation story itself. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the very first two verses of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right? In that the very beginning, the earth was formless and void or empty, and darkness was over the first surface of the deep. I'm going to just give you the Hebrew for formless and void because it's fun to say. That's all. Tohu vavohu. Come on, you can say tohu vavohu. Come on, it's fun. Tohu vavohu. All right, we'll work on it. But that means formless and empty, but it's not talking about physical matter. It told us also that the Spirit of God was already hovering over the waters. So formless and empty doesn't mean that there wasn't matter. There was matter. What it was about was disorder and chaos. I remember when a pastor, the first time I heard explain tohu vavohu, he said, "You can feel tohu vavohu. It's like when you walk into your kids' rooms, and there's underwear on the ceiling fan, and the bookshelf has vomited all over the floor, and the covers are not on the bed, they're under the bed," right? You can feel tohu vavohu. It's formless, it's empty, it's chaotic, it's disordered, and this is how the earth was, as darkness was over the surface of the deep, until God spoke and said, "Let there be light." He spoke order into chaos. He spoke light into darkness. And yet, as he created this world in the way he desired to rule and to reign over it perfectly, we know that the light didn't last very long. Sin entered creation. The order and the light was shattered. God's reign and his joy and his peace was broken. Relationships were devastated. The relationship between humanity and God, between human and human, as Adam and Eve blaming one another. Even creation itself was destroyed as sin entered. Disorder once again taking over creation so that we have things like earthquakes in New Jersey. Right? Earthquakes are not part of the original ordering and reign. They're part of the disordering of sin. And we got off easy, right? We know that earthquakes can be incredibly devastating. And so no longer is the light the norm. It seems like darkness is the norm again. God had ordered things to have light and joy and peace, but instead, when sin comes in, it is darkness, it is disorder, and it is chaos that rules. We see it in our everyday lives, don't we? Rather than peace and joy and love, we have war, we have despair, we have human trafficking. We have bickering, death, divorce, corruption, abortion, greed, gossip, fear, self-centeredness, racism, violence, sickness, depression. The list goes on and on and on. Darkness seems to be the norm, not light. True today, as much as it was in Jesus' day when the prophet was looking ahead, yearning and longing for a day when light would dawn in the darkness. And so Jesus shows up as that light. And what did the light do? Matthew told us that he went about throughout the darkness and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, just as a quick aside, kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. If you read the other gospel writers, the other accounts of Jesus' life and ministry, they will most often use kingdom of God. But Matthew's audience, his intended audience, originally was a Jewish audience. And the Jewish people would have avoided saying God out of concern of using the Lord's name in vain. And so out of reverence for the name of God, they would often substitute heaven in place of God. And so when Matthew says kingdom of heaven, it's the same thing as the kingdom of God. And so Jesus went out into the darkness preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Well, wait, how has come near? How? In what way? Well, it was in him. It was in Jesus. The kingdom had come near in him and through him. And God's kingdom stands in direct and complete opposition to the kingdom of darkness. Because his is the kingdom of light. So it stands against everything that we experience as normal now. His kingdom turns upside down everything that we experience today, which really makes it right side up. But in God's kingdom, power is no longer about what I can do for myself or do to another. It's about what I can do for another. Life is no longer about self-centered living, self-protection and preservation. It's about selfless giving and selfless love of the other. Right, that God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace and wholeness and justice and joy and forgiveness and radical love for your enemy and hospitality for the marginalized, the outcast, and the poor. And Jesus says so clearly, repent. Now, if you grew up in churches, you may hear that word repent as you are a terrible, disgusting, awful human. Feel bad about yourself. And that's not what repent means. Repent literally means turn away, right? You're going this way. Repent means stop going that way and go the other way. And so Jesus is saying, repent, turn away from the kingdom of darkness because that kingdom's not working. Turn toward the kingdom of light. You may be thinking, like, I thought this was a series about the miracles of Jesus. What does this have to do with miracles? I'm so glad you asked. Great question. Because Matthew tells us in what we read in verse 23, he says, after he gathered some of his first followers around him, he went throughout the darkness, and he said he went out throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, and his miracles are tied together. Because his miracles are the breaking in of the kingdom of light, the kingdom and the reign of God into the here and now. It's the light into the darkness. Imagine for it, like if we were able to, you know, shut black out all these windows and turn out all the lights, just imagine it totally pitch black in here. And if we had a giant spotlight and we were able to just shine it right over here, it'd be like, right? Like that's a miracle. Right? It's the light shining in the middle of the darkness. Where everything else around is totally dark, this spot right here, this is the way God intends it to be. This is his kingdom. This is the way they're supposed to be. All this out here, this darkness, that's not normal. This is normal. And so his miracles are tied to his preaching of the kingdom because they actually show, they demonstrate what the kingdom is, what it looks like. Because it is the kingdom of wholeness, the kingdom of liberation, the kingdom of radical acceptance. It's demonstrating God's kingdom in the midst of all other things that are falling apart. Jared Wilson wrote a book called Wonderworking God. And in it, he talks about the purposes of Jesus' miracles. And he said it has four purposes. The first one, he says, is that the miracles demonstrate the at-handness of the kingdom of God. But Jesus went preaching that the kingdom of God has come near. And it's like, how do you know? Oh, I'll show you. Miracle. Boom. Kingdom of God has come near. There it is. You can see it. That's what the kingdom looks like. He goes on and says the miracles are acts of heavenly normalization, which is to say they are isolated snapshots of the transformation of the broken world to the way it will someday be. Right? What he's saying is that spotlight is the miracle, but that spotlight will be everywhere someday. When Jesus returns, when he comes again at the end of history, there will not be kingdom of darkness. It will only be kingdom of light. Everywhere will be kingdom of light. Everything will be restored to God's original intent, his purpose, his reign. Everything, everywhere will be like that beautiful picture that you see in the miracle, because that's the picture of joy and wholeness and peace and celebration. He says, because the miracles are acts of heavenly normalization, they are acts of revolutionary subversion against the corrupt course of the world and the realm of the evil one. Now, we're going to unpack that a little bit later in this series, but for today, it's enough to say that as the kingdom of light breaks in, it forces out the kingdom of darkness, right? You can't have light and dark in the same spot. Light forces the darkness out. And so as the reign of the kingdom of God breaks in, it's literally forcing out the reign of the kingdom of the devil. And finally, he says that the miracles point to Jesus Christ himself as the source and summation of the three acts that we just previously spoke about. In other words, the supernatural acts are released through Jesus. He is the source. He is the hope. We can turn to him and see that he gets the glory as he's working out his great purposes of the kingdom of God. You know, and we think of miracles often, you know, because they are incredible, that they're outrageous, even they're abnormal. But when we realize that miracles are actually bringing creation and life and restoration to nature and to individual lives and to relationships and to people, it's bringing all of that back into alignment with the original purposes of the kingdom of God, then what we see is that the miracles are normal. And what we live with every day, that's the abnormal. And miracles are normal because they're the reign and the rule of the king. And as he spreads his reign, his power and his authority spreads too. When he does a miracle, it's really just the king doing what the king does. It's like if suddenly someone in this room had a burst appendix, right? And also, fortunately, someone in this room was also a surgeon who happened to be carrying around their little surgeon bag, because that's what they always do, right? Their little surgeon bag. And so they're able to go over, and they have the expertise and the know-how to diagnose. They have the skills and the equipment to go ahead and, yep, let's pop that out, sew it all back up neat and tidy, right? It all happens only because the surgeon is in the room doing what a surgeon does. And when King Jesus is in the room, he does what the king does. He does miracles. He does the normal acts of the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of darkness. And as he does that, he brings the end of the story into the now. There's lots of different stories that have a basic plot line like this, that there's someone who has been poisoned or has some sort of curse or fatal illness, and there's an individual or a group of people that have to go off on this epic adventure to find the antidote for the poison or the cure for the illness, right? And most of the time, as you're reading or watching along, you know how it's going to end, right? I mean, unless they're like one of those real artsy people and they want it to all end in tragedy, but that's most of the time, you know it's going to end on a good note, right? The healing's coming. And so the only real question is how they're going to get there. The story is about the challenges along the way. Well, if we know that the story is going to end on a good note, we know they're going to get healed. And so miracles are like bringing that end of the story into the now, skipping all the middle, all the uncertainty. Because at the end of the story, all things will be brought into the kingdom of light. At the end of the story. And so a miracle is getting an experience at the end of the story today. And actually, when we come to this communion table, Jesus is telling us something similar. That we get a taste of the end of the story when we come to this table. He told his disciples during that first communion, he said, I'm not going to drink from this cup again until I drink of it in my kingdom. When my kingdom of light fully comes, then I will drink it again. But in this communion, you get a taste of the end of the story. You get a taste of the miracle of the kingdom of light breaking into today. We get a taste at this table of the miracle of the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. We get a taste in this physical, tangible reality of the miracle that the God of the universe would so love us that he would send his son who would die, lay down his life for us. And it reminds us, if he's that for us, will he not also be for us in the midst of everything we're struggling in against the kingdom of darkness? This table is a taste of the end of the story to sustain us through today. And so as you're coming to this table this morning, I'm wondering, where does it seem like the kingdom of darkness is winning? Where does it seem that the kingdom of darkness is going to overtake you? Because today, as we step into this series, as we come to this table, you are invited to invite the king into your story, to bring light and order and healing and wholeness and restoration from the end of the story to your here and now. And so trust and believe that when the king shows up, he's going to do the things that the king does. And that's miraculous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this communion table and we come to this series thinking about miracles, we just acknowledge we have so many questions and fears and doubts, but we also have so many hopes and longings. Lord, we see so clearly the kingdom of darkness. Sometimes it's hard to believe that your kingdom of light can and will break in here and now. Lord God, we invite you to meet us at this table, that we would taste the end of the story, that we would be filled with hope, renewed for today. Lord, help us. Help us to overcome our skepticism, our fear, and our doubt, that we can believe that you are the king and that miracles are normal for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.